The scripture reading tonight before the lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 17-21. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you will give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that some wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Before you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. For his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will give deliverance to his soul.
Glad to see each of you back tonight as we once again turn our attention to worshiping God and studying together. This section of Scripture that we're looking at tonight from Ezekiel chapter 3 is a passage that is sobering in its discussion of responsibility. Responsibility that God's servants have. In this case, of course, the servant that is being addressed is Ezekiel, one of God's great prophets. But it is a word that we would do well to consider. We all who are American citizens are probably familiar with old Paul Revere. You remember his words of warning sounded about the coming of the British, and he warned so that the militia could prepare themselves and so that they wouldn't be taken by surprise. There's a lot of warning that is essential when it comes to protecting the lives of others, and we see that practiced throughout the world, even from ancient times. That's why, you know, we were studying in the book of Nehemiah about rebuilding the wall, and as they're going around the wall, there's certain locations where there were towers, and those towers were the watchtowers. They would go up, and there would be men who were in those locations, and they were looking to see, is anyone coming? Is there any danger? And they would sound a warning. They would alert the people of the danger so that people could prepare, so that people could avoid being taken or surprised by the enemy. The Apostle Paul, in his work, frequently sounded the warnings that were necessary to get God's people, get his fellow Christians, to examine their lives, to think about what lie ahead in terms of future events as well. One occasion is recorded in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 29, where Paul gave warning, in this case, to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He told them, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul speaks to them about something that is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit about tragedy that's going to strike the church in the future. He says there will be wolves that will come in. They won't spare the flock. You know, you get the picture of what happens to a flock when wolves are not kept away and they devour and they tear the flock and there's blood everywhere. Life is lost. That happens spiritually. Paul is saying there are people going to be coming in and they're going to not spare the flock. He says, understand this too, even among yourselves, among the elders, there will be men who rise up who do damage to God's people, lead away disciples after themselves. And therefore he says to these elders, watch. He says, you be in those lookout towers. You be watching. You be aware of what's going on so that you can sound the warning. Paul himself right here does. He says, you need to remember that for 3 years I did not cease. So he's continually doing what? Warning everyone night and day with tears. Paul is all about warning because of what's at stake. Souls are going to be lost. Churches could be destroyed. Churches could lose their recognition in the eyes of God. We talked about recently in Revelation, the opening chapters, and what Jesus said concerning the churches, how that if they didn't repent, what could happen? Their candlestick be removed. The candlesticks were in the proximity of the Lord Himself, and they were all together with the Lord going in and out among them, but they could be removed from that place of fellowship. That can happen. There is reason why warnings must be sounded. It's critical. The future of the church depends upon warnings against apostasy, against the dangers that are always present. There's a lot to consider about our responsibility to warn. And tonight we're going to look back to God's words to Ezekiel here in chapter 3 and consider the words that he speaks to his watchmen. So in verses 16 and 17, what we look at tonight here is, first of all, in verses 16 and 17, we'll look at the watchman's work. In verses 18 and 19, we'll look at God's words to the wicked. And then in verses 20 and 21, God's words to the formerly righteous. What did he say to them? And we look at Ezekiel's responsibility in regard to God's words to those two groups of people. So let's look at verses 16 and 17 and see the watchman's work, because here is where Ezekiel is appointed to this particular work. So that's what we're going to look at, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But it would be good to sort of think back to what has already been spoken to this great servant of God. He is one who has been called by God to this task, and he was given visions from heaven about things relating to God's people. In verse 1, there was a scroll that was presented to him, and God said, you eat this scroll, and then you go speak to Israel. And God caused him to eat it. He said, take it down into your stomach. Verse 3, let it fill your stomach. And he says, I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. So the idea is, God gave his word to this prophet. He's to take it in, he's to consume it, and then he's to take this message, verse 4, and speak. Look at verse 4. To the house of Israel, he's to speak with my words to them. He is sent to a people not foreign, he says. Not to a people that language, their language is hard to understand. You're being sent to your own people. The sad thing is, he says, if I had sent you to a foreign nation, they would have listened. But I'm sending you to your own people, to the house of Israel. Verse 7, but the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. God tells him, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. Let my words sink down into your heart. Grasp them, understand them, believe them, communicate them to the people. And then he says to him, listen to verse 11. Go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. God says, you take my message, you communicate my message to your fellow Jews, to the people of Israel, and you tell them what I have spoken, whether they listen to you or not. You just tell them the message. That was his job. Speak the message. And so, the Lord then instructs Ezekiel. It says in verse 16, what we're looking at tonight as we consider first of all the watchman's work, we see that the Lord's word, Yahweh is the Hebrew term there, God's name. Yahweh has called this man, appointed this man as watchman, and Yahweh's words have come to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel receives this message. Notice, it is the word of the Lord, and it came to him. Thus, since it is the word of the Lord, inherently it's a message with authority. This is a message that everyone has to consider and that Ezekiel himself must take, because it's a message divine in nature. But another thing is that this message brought to Ezekiel responsibility. The word of Yahweh came to me. Now, this man has a responsibility. He has been entrusted with a certain task. He cannot escape his responsibility. God's word has been given to him. He has been made a watchman. And of course, the message also requires of him accountability. Ezekiel, because this message has been given to him, it's divine in nature, he has responsibility, he now has accountability as well. He's going to have to answer for whether or not he does what God tells him to do. And that's an important thought to consider when it relates to God taking a message that he wants humanity to know, and then he gives it to a certain people and he says, you tell this message. Now we have obligation, responsibility, and we also have accountability as well in regard to what we do with the task that God has given to us. Now Ezekiel, notice verse 17, he is appointed as a watchman. And again, we think back to the old time towers in those castles or around those walls. He is like the tower sentinel. They had the responsibility of being on the lookout. He's watching for the enemy. Ezekiel, in a similar fashion, has to communicate this message of warning. So his work, as you notice, relates to the people of Israel. So this task is one of warning those who are kin to him, part of his family, physically speaking, the bloodline that descended from Abraham. And he is responsible. It says in verse 17, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth. Ezekiel has a responsibility of listening to what God has said. He has the responsibility of making himself understand, grasp this message that has been conveyed by God to him, so that he can then in turn tell this message to others. He has to listen to the message and he has to speak the message. He has to warn for God. Give them warning, God says, from me. Now, here's the thought that we need to take to our own hearts and consider. This Old Testament prophet was a watchman. And today, we as servants of God, we as Christians, we know the Lord's command to us to go and to spread the gospel, to take the message of salvation to all nations. The end of Mark and the end of Matthew, both places were taught about that critical responsibility that we have in terms of all the world. But here's an aspect of our work that we need to focus on in terms of speaking words of warning to those who are part of our spiritual family already. That's the emphasis to Ezekiel. Speak to the house of Israel. The parallel for us is speak to our brethren. Warn your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Why do brothers and sisters in Christ need warning? Because sometimes they drift away. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 14, he says these words, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Paul says to Christians in Thessalonica, so to us, we have the responsibility of warning brothers and sisters in Christ who are unruly. The word unruly means and is defined as being out of step and going one's own way. So you're out of step with what? God's word. You're traveling your own path. The idea of unruly, right? You've chosen to do what you want to do. You've rejected God's will. You need brothers and sisters to come warn you because you live that way and there are consequences. Being out of step and going one's own way, disorderly, insubordinate. No one who is insubordinate to God's will is on the path that leads to life. That's the path that is called the broad way that leads to destruction. We have to warn brethren because there are always going to be in every congregation members of the body of Christ who have either already drifted away, they are presently unruly, or there's signs that is starting to take place. Warning needs to be spoken because, for one thing, these are our family members. If your own blood kin, your brothers, your sisters, your children, cousins, parents, were in danger of some sort, people that you love, you naturally will warn. And you would plead with them. The Lord tells us, warn those who are unruly, those who are of the flock, those who are members of Christ's body. James, in James chapter 5, the very last two verses of that book, remind us this, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Certainly, in this task that James writes about here, when someone wanders from the truth, the process of turning someone back involves warning. You're telling them, look, brother or sister, your soul is in jeopardy. You cannot live this way. You cannot do these things. You're warning them. Why? Because their spirit, their soul, is in danger of being lost, and there is a multitude of sins that they are guilty of that God is going to hold them responsible for. No one wants to stand before God in judgment and it all be laid out, and here are sins that we have been guilty of and we never repented of them. We must warn so that we can do what he describes here, which is a beautiful thing that shows love and concern for our brethren, and that is, you're going to save a soul from death. The news oftentimes reminds us of how much we as human beings value a hero, someone who puts his own life in jeopardy, who does something to save a life. Typically, the person says, "I was just doing what was natural to do. I just stepped in to help somebody." That's what we need to have, this natural tendency to see and recognize that's not good. They need to be warned here and to be willing to step in and do that. But typically, since it's not, you know, a life that is in danger and we're going to be looked at as a hero, but oftentimes you see when you go to warn and you speak words of warning, and it involves this sort of rebuke aspect, we don't feel so much like a hero. We feel like we're going to make somebody mad. We feel like we're not going to be received. And so we don't see it the way we should. And we fail to warn, and here is a soul that may be in danger, doing something sinful. We have to have the right perspective and see that the work and the responsibility has been given to us. And furthermore, there's the accountability that we also need to remember, because we will give an account as to whether or not we have done what is our duty to do, to turn those who wander back so that souls are saved and sins are covered. Sins are only covered when one repents of sin. And that's what we can help to bring about when we warn, which is an act of love. And Ezekiel has this great task before him. So consider then the next two verses, which are God's warning to the wicked. So specifically then, God tells Ezekiel this, verses 18 and 19. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Here's one thing to really give thanks for, and that is that God cares for the wicked. God cares for those who persist in sin. Now, we may look at people who are living immoral, ungodly, doing horrific things to humanity. And sometimes, like Jonah, we may think they deserve to suffer eternally. But they need to be warned. Jonah failed initially at the task. He didn't want to warn. He didn't want to tell anybody in Nineveh what God's warning message was. He wanted them to suffer the consequences of what they did. God wouldn't allow Jonah to not warn, and so he showed him, you've got to do this job. You must warn. Because God cares for all souls, including those who are in wickedness, who have not even known righteousness, who, like the Jews, many of the children of Israel during this time, this period in time was right after the carrying away into captivity. Ezekiel is among them. So Judah has fallen to Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. There's been the carrying away into captivity. These people who are fresh into the land of captivity in Babylon are people who have been guilty of great sins. They're there, and God is addressing their disposition of heart, which for many of them has been idolatry all their lives. They had forsaken God. Their forefathers had forsaken God. This is generation after generation of wicked departure and rebellion from God. So there are some among God's own people who were just persistent in their wicked ways. They had not been walking in righteousness. And God says to Ezekiel, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. So Ezekiel, you have the job of being a watchman. And these wicked people must be warned. If you choose not to warn them, because every person has a choice. Ezekiel could be faithful or Ezekiel could forsake the way of God and the commands given to him. He says, if you don't warn this man, he's going to die in his sins. What happens to a person when they die in their sins? That means their soul is lost forever. Here's a person who's never repented. They've been persisting in wickedness. They die in that condition. There's no hope. They're gone, and they're gone forever. Ezekiel is told, this is what's going to happen if you don't warn them. But, he says, if you don't warn them, and therefore they fall, God tells Ezekiel, you're also going to be held accountable for that. He says, but his blood I will require at your hand. You didn't warn him. I told you to warn him. You were given the word. You knew the word. And this word that you knew and that I told you to tell them, you did not tell them. Therefore, when they lose their soul, that loss is going to be, you're going to be held accountable for that loss because of what you did not do. But Ezekiel had a choice. And Ezekiel could, like in verse 19, choose to sound that warning and tell that wicked man, look, here is what God is pointing out in your life. Repent, turn from your wickedness. He can warn that man. And if he warns him, verse 19, and that wicked man doesn't turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, again, he'll die in his iniquity. He'll still perish, just like he would have in the beginning. But the difference is, Ezekiel warned him. Therefore, you have delivered your soul. You did what you needed to do. You warned that person. You told them what they needed to do. And they didn't listen to you. So your hands are clean. You're not guilty. no fault on your account. We remember the fact that brothers and sisters in Christ, in like manner, need to be warned. The warning must be sounded. And we think about those who have for a long time persisted in sin. Maybe we learn about something we didn't know about that was going on in their lives, and now we come to the realization, you know what, I know that's wrong. I know I have a responsibility as a brother, sister in Christ to care for them. I need to do like James says, turn them back so that their soul can be saved from death, so that all these sins can be covered and forgotten by God, not counted against them. And before us then is also that choice, to warn or not warn. We must warn. There is a responsibility to warn. How could we be any different than Ezekiel in terms of responsibility, in terms of accountability? That we know their situation. We know what God says. This is a brother. This is a sister. How could we not warn? And if we don't warn, do we think that God is going to be okay with that? How would it be any different? Couldn't be. But then Ezekiel is further told, the final thing here in this section, when we look at his words, God's words to the formerly righteous, they are similar. In verses 20 and 21, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. So there is the first statement in verse 20. Here is a different scenario. This person is a righteous person. But now this righteous person has veered from his righteousness. He's turned away. This is one who wasn't given over to idolatry, perhaps, like in this time. Maybe he was faithful to God. You have some of these individuals that we read of in the Scriptures. Daniel, for example, who we look at in the Scriptures as a righteous, God-fearing man, and yet Daniel confessed the sins that he was guilty of. We have the same with Nehemiah as well, and Ezra. Individuals who are viewed as righteous men, they were, but sometimes righteous people can veer from their righteousness, be guilty of sin, and need to be warned. Here are righteous individuals, for various reasons, who have turned from living right. Now, this is not someone who is living right, has stumbled, and then has just gotten right back on track. But this is someone who is living a righteous life, but now they're being drawn away by Satan, and they have persisted in sin. This might be, for example, like 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a brother in Christ evidently had been living right, but now there's an alert sounded. This man has his father's wife. You need to do something. Sound the warning. The man, or the righteous man here in verse 20, has turned from his righteousness. Now he's living in sin. And what does God say? And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because, he says, you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. The righteous man can be drawn away by his own desires, which is how it goes, right? James chapter 1. That's the progression of sin. What we learn there is that God doesn't tempt any man. Remember that. Because what we read here about this stumbling block is not that God is trying to get this man to be lost, and so he's trying to ensnare him. But rather, here is a man who has been enticed in his own way, and God then places a test before him. It's an opportunity for this man to either stumble into sin and to choose wickedness, or to, from this occasion that God has presented before him, choose the right path. There is an obstacle before this man. He can either trip over it or he can step over it. That's his choice. God doesn't want anybody to be lost, but here this righteous man is going to be tested by God. will you turn back to me or not? But Ezekiel has to give him warning. And the sad thing is that here, in this particular scenario that God gives, the watchman does not warn. What happens? The righteous man is going to be lost. Here's another sad thing. All the good things that the righteous man ever did are forgotten. They're not remembered. All that he did is lost. All of his labors. Just imagine, for example, the Apostle Paul. Laboring, planting churches, warning his brethren. Imagine Paul at the end of his life, forsaking the Lord, turning to sin, being enticed, maybe like Demas, loving the world more than God and turning away from that work, and losing all his hope and his reward. You know, when it talks about laying up treasure in heaven, there are things that we do that honor God, that glorify God. Works that will be remembered by God, because through those works we have done good and accomplished the Lord's will and borne fruit. But to lose it all, what a sad thought. And that's exactly what is presented to Ezekiel. The consequence of not warning. The righteous man is going to be lost. All his righteousness will not be remembered. And then, once again, his blood I will require at your hand. You don't want to be in that position on the day of judgment. Here was someone who lived righteously. They turned away. But I didn't do anything about it. I didn't try to warn them. Their soul's going to be lost. All the good that they had accomplished no longer remembered. And I also have to give account as well. Ezekiel is then told in verse 21, "Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul." There's the right choice. And again, both verses 19 and verse 21, that's the right path to take. You warn. Warning is not easy. Warning is not easy. There's no reason to have these words even being written if it weren't a challenge, if it weren't so hard for righteous people to take the steps that are necessary to warn people when they are in their wickedness. That's why it's here. God knows what a challenge this is to warn people of their wickedness. But, you know, reading these words also is scary. It's scary because we see right here what God says to His own people about the consequences of failing to warn. But if we think in terms of precious souls, beloved family members, if we think in terms of the greatest work in all the world, which Jesus Himself did, and we see this for the vital, soul-saving work that it is, and we say to ourselves, I'm going to just overcome my own fears for the sake of doing the Lord's work, and see the positive aspect of all of this, that will help us to be faithful watchmen. To be those who do restore brethren from their erring ways so that souls are saved. That we call the prodigals out of their so-called extravagant and wasteful living, as the word prodigal means, to come back to the Father from the far country of sin. Be restored and embraced by the Father who will receive every erring soul. That's the thing. Whether it's, as he describes here, the wicked or the righteous who've turned from the way, if they will come back, God will receive them. And there will be no punishment, and we will have fulfilled our work. But here's the thing to remember. Even if they don't receive warning, and even if they persist in sin, and even if they despise us, and even if they hate us, remember, their blood is not on our hands. We've done our part to try to help them, to try to warn them. And if we are, by chance, on the receiving end of the warning, remember this. It's because God loves us that He has sent brothers and sisters in Christ to us to warn us. Our hearts should be receptive, appreciative. It's not going to be easy to receive correction either. But it's coming for a reason. Because God and your family loved your soul and wants you to walk with God and to not be lost, which of course is where persistent sin leads. This lesson reminds us of this great task that certainly we have. We are told, as we noticed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, we are told to warn those who are unruly. That task is ours. We do have it presented to us. And therefore, it's a task that we must embrace, and doing so will enable us to have a part in the great work that we share with the Lord. We work together with Him. And He rewards His faithful servants. Tonight, if you're not among those who are part of the family of God, turn to the Lord with all of your heart and obedience. Become a child of God. Take on the great work that God has given in all of its aspects and responsibilities, a part of which is what we've talked about tonight. And make a difference in the lives of others. To become a child of God, one must believe in Christ, turn from sin, confess faith in Jesus, and be baptized so that sins can be washed away. And then faithful living assures us of a home in heaven. A part of that faithful living, as we've seen tonight, involves the work of warning. If you need to come back to your Lord, if you need to be restored to Him, won't you do that as we stand and sing?